Hebrews 11 in your Bibles. We did enjoy some time at the beach this past week. I got back home and my feet and ankles were burnt to a crisp. I looked like an Amish lady that went to the beach. Apparently, my suntan lotion didn't last so long down there. And it is good to have Brother Kenny with us. Pray for Brother Kenny as the Lord seeks to lead him, or as he seeks, I'm sorry, the Lord's leading. We were talking in my office today. He said he had done some intern work in a church in Wyoming. Well, I've been to Wyoming. There ain't but maybe three churches out there. I said, well, where at in Wyoming? He said, Sundance. I said, what was the name of the, I said, Brother Wayne Phillips? He said, yeah, at Gateway Baptist Church. I said, you know that green roof on, you know the green tin roof on that church? He said, yeah. I said, well, I helped put it on. And so we had a pretty neat connection. He, as small of a place as Wyoming is, religion-wise, we have some common friends out there. Excuse me, we're in Hebrews 11. Hebrews is a fascinating book. It's got a lot of gems inside of it. The authorship is in question. Nobody really knows who wrote it, and obviously it really doesn't matter because God did not dictate to the author to write his name in it. Within the book of Hebrews are some hotly contested and debated verses. There's also some blessed verses in there that we're going to look at tonight. There's mysterious passages littered out throughout this whole book. And it's basically written in two divisions. Chapters 1 through about the middle of chapter 10 had to do with doctrinal issues. And then chapter 10, about midway through to the end, it has to do with practical living. And we'll see that in chapter 11 as we'll spend our time in here this evening. Chapter 11 has been labeled the Christian Hall of Faith. And we have Hall of Fames for every conceivable sport and activity. But here we find a list of people that are listed in what I would call the Hall of Faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Faith is something that we all have, regardless of our standing before the Lord. The question is what do we place our faith in? To preference my remarks tonight, I'll ask you to look at verse 38 of chapter 10. God's Word says, now the just shall live by faith. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us this evening. Lord, I pray that you would help me as I preach your word. Whenever I stand up here, I'm reminded of my own sinfulness, my own, Lord, lack of faith at times. I'm also reminded of how good you've been to me and to my family. And now, Lord, I ask that you would help me as I preach your word. I pray that you would feed your people. I would pray that you would convict those that are lost. Strengthen Christians in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 3 talks about through faith we understand that the worlds were formed, were made, were framed by the Word of God. Faith for the Christian is the absolute assurance of the truthfulness of God's Word, regardless of circumstances that we're in and regardless of the consequences that follow for believing God at His Word. I said earlier that everyone has faith, and that's true. You walk through the doors of this building tonight placing faith in the person that designed this place that it would not fall down. You sat in a pew placing faith that the pew would hold you up as it has many times in the past. When we go back here to eat during the afterglow, you're going to have faith that your swallower works. Because quite frankly, who wants to eat food and not be able to swallow it? We all have faith. We exercise it all the time. Sometimes we think about it, sometimes we don't. what separates the saved from the lost is what we have our faith in. I'll get more about that in a minute. So Hebrews 11 explains the role that faith has played and characters in God's Word, in our spiritual forefathers, so to speak. And as I read through these listings of faith and how many times faith is mentioned, I find that there's two categories of faith that are mentioned in this passage. I just labeled them in my own backwards way. One is obedient faith. In other words, God said to an individual, I want you to go do such and such. And the Bible says, by faith, they went and done such and such. We could read through this list of names. We would come to Noah. The Bible says he was warned of God, and he obeyed the voice of God when God said, I want you to prepare an ark. That would be an example of obedient faith. The other type of faith is what I would label voluntary faith. People voluntarily just did what was right because it was the right thing to do. And they did it by faith, trusting that God would bless it and that God would honor it. And God indeed did. We could read verse number 4, for instance, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. We could look at Enoch and all these others, and we will in just a few minutes. But in this chapter 11, we find 16 people that are named by name and how they exercise faith. There's an exception in verse, I believe it is 23. This is the verse I just want to point out real quick. In this listing of these people that are known for their faith, even thousands of years after they lived, we find by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. This is talking about the faith of Moses' parents. And we don't know a lot, we don't know a lot about the father of Moses. Exodus chapter 2 only tells us that there was a man of the sons of Levi. He took unto him a daughter of the Levites. And that's all that I'm aware of that we hear about the father of Moses. But by faith they hid him when they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. And then the author kind of skims over about 6 people, mainly people that we find in the book of Judges. And then the author says time would fail him to mention everything that all these people in God's Word did through faith. And likewise, time would hinder me from going into explicit detail into each of these people. But they're divided into 4 groups: the patriarchs, the judges, the prophets, and lastly, the martyrs, those that lost their life for being a witness for the cause of Christ. So within these examples, we find some that have exercised obedient faith. We're going to look at those 3 characters briefly tonight and kind of see what they had in common when they exercised their obedient faith. And we're going to look at some of these other people. And hopefully what we're going to do is we're kind of get an overview of how faith plays a role in our life, much as it played a role in the life of these people. I mentioned Noah. Excuse me. I keep on wanting to cough into the microphone. My apologies to those on the internet that may be listening. All 3 of you. Noah was being one. Abraham was another one. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. So we have Noah, who was warned by God. God said, Noah, build an ark. God said, Abraham, leave your hometown and go somewhere. I'll let you know when you get there. And then we have Moses. Moses is one of the examples in this chapter who not only obeyed God, but he stepped out, apart from the commandments of God and exercised faith. Moses, I said in verse 23, was hid by faith. Verse 24 says, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. By the way, I think that's one of the marks of a true Christian, somebody that chooses rather to suffer with the children of God than to follow after the world. Verses 26, 27, 28, 29 go into the rest of the things that Moses done by faith. Parted the Red Sea, forsook Egypt, led God's people in the wilderness. But every single one of these examples have this in common. Number one, they obeyed in uncharted waters. I mean, this is something that had never been accomplished before. Noah was the first man that's recorded in the history of mankind to build an ark that was designed to save the animal kingdom and human mankind. Abraham, God said, look, I want you to go somewhere. I want you to leave everything that you know, and you leave your hometown. Abraham had never done something like that. He didn't know what to expect. He didn't know what lay down the road. Moses took a huge undertaking in leading what has been estimated to be 2 million Jews from Egypt and into the wilderness. None of these people had done anything like that before. And sometimes God will call you and I to do something that we have never done before in our life. And it's going to scare us. And we'll be intimidated. But when we follow by faith, we'll realize, hey, you know, God was in charge of this thing all along. Through different moves that we make in our life, maybe in a career or in a ministry move. They also obeyed in spite of certain ridicule. It's one thing when you do something right because you think it's right and you're not really anticipating the consequences. It was a whole other thing altogether when you understand exactly what's going to happen to you and your family when you obey the voice of God. Noah, we all understand how long it took him to build the ark. It took him years. And the only people that he was able to successfully get on the ark, those that would believe that God would destroy the world, was his family, his three sons, his daughter-in-law, and his wife. Abraham, the life of a nomad, traveling all the time. People would say, Abraham, you're rich. You got everything you could possibly need. Why don't you settle down, build your house, hire out some folks to watch your animals? Why in the world, at this part in your life, at this stage in your life, are you traveling like you are? And Moses, I'm sure people were critical of his leadership skills. You know, it didn't take Moses 40 years to find the promised land. They found it rather quickly. The problem was when they got to the promised land and they sent in spies, 12 spies went in, they came back, 10 of them said, look, there's no way. I mean, we're grasshoppers in their sight. And two of them said, oh, we can take it. The people listened to the 10 spies and they said, we're not going to do this. And God said, okay, I'll tell you what's going to happen. Everybody that's 20 years old and up, you will not enter into the promised land. Your bodies will fall in the wilderness. Those that are 20 and under, you'll get to see the promised land, including the two spies. And for the next 38 years, approximately every 20 minutes, a body dropped, boom, in the wilderness. Until the time had elapsed for the younger generation to cross into the wilderness. They also, not only were they in uncharted waters, not only did they obey in spite of certain ridicule, they also obeyed knowing that there was no turning back. They burned their bridges, so to speak. I mean, what was Noah going to do? Jump off the ark at the last minute? All the work that he did to build, gathering the animals. If you don't think that was hard, just getting the animals. If you work with animals, if you work with kids, okay, they're basically animals with an IQ. You can't. I mean, how are you going to get two lions? I mean, can you imagine getting two lions? I'd have had to have had a, if I were Noah, I'd have had a premillennial theology thinking, okay, I know that in the millennial kingdom, these animals are not going to have the curse of sin on them, and Lord, maybe you could do that for me right now. Abraham. For Abraham to turn back, he'd have had to directly disobey the voice of God. I just don't see him doing it. Moses, The only other option that Moses had was to listen to the people when at certain times they said, hey, we were better off as slaves in Egypt. Moses said, no, we're not going to do that. And so we have these three characters that exercised obedient faith. God said, do this. And they done it. God will not always tell us to build an ark. He will not always tell us to leave our land and everything we know. He will not tell us to lead a nation of people across a huge piece of land. But God does tell us what to do. We read His Word. He speaks to us. He tells us what He wants. And we have, and all we have is to obey or to disobey. And so we have all these other characters. We have about 11 of them. We have Abel and Enoch. And we have Sarah, and let's talk about these people for a few minutes. Their faith that they exercised not necessarily because God said, go out and do something, but because they'd done the right thing. They knew it was the right thing to do. And they didn't feel any regrets later on. And whenever I met somebody that's given their life to serve the Lord or given their life to God, I've never yet to meet somebody that said, you know, Brother Jerry, I sure wish I hadn't have done that all those years ago. But I have met those with the opposite effect. When they say, you know, I wish I had that life to live over again. I received a phone call a few days ago from a newspaper in my hometown. A rinky-dink newspaper, much like the Fort Mill Times here. Except more rinky-dinkier. One of the cover. I was in the newspaper, and I don't, if I've told this, it was years ago, and most of y'all forgot it. I was in the newspaper as a kid, and when you're a kid in a small town and you're in the newspaper, it's a good thing as long as it's not in the section where, you know, 12-year-old boy lights barn on fire or something like that. We had a station wagon growing up, and some of you people know exactly what I'm talking about. It was a big Ford LTD. It was about this color yellow right here, okay? The inside was brown. In the back had a bench seat that faced out in the back. And you had a big window in the back that came up and came down. I know you're shaking your head. Some of these teenagers are looking at me like, what in the world are you talking about? Well, my brother and I had taken my sister's shoe, as all good younger brothers do, and we're kind of chunking it back and forth to each other in the back of the station wagon. And I got this bright idea, let's accidentally throw it out the back window. So we chunk the shoe out the window. It lands in the street, and it stays in the street for like 3 days. And you got to understand that it would be the equivalent of going to downtown Fort Mill on Main Street and chunking a shoe out and it land on Main Street. The story should have been the shoe survives for 3 days. Well, somebody picks up the shoe, and the newspaper says, whoever's this shoe is, come claim it. Well, prior to that, my brother and I were like, I don't know what happened to that shoe. You know, so now it's like, oh, yeah, we threw that shoe out. And so we had to claim the shoe, and we got wrote up in the newspaper. That was a rabbit trail. But that same newspaper called me the other day, and the lady said, we're doing a story about the people that came out of Bible Baptist Church in Appomattox that are now in the ministry. Because in my generation of teenagers, when I was in the youth group, one, two, three, four, five or six teenage boys right now are in full-time ministry. And so they were doing interviewing all the people that were sent out from Bible Baptist Church. And one of the questions the lady asked me, she said, why do you think that percentage is so? I said, we had youth pastors that, and I had probably three growing up, I just always thought a youth pastor stayed 2 years and he was gone. I just thought that was normal business. Apparently it is in most places, but I said, we had youth pastors that told us to give our life to God, and when He called us to do something, that we were to follow after Him and do it and don't look back. And I think, and if I had to guess, teenagers, God has not slacked up in calling people to the ministry. If anything, I would, in my feeble, the way I think, with the times getting worse and worse, if anything, He's calling them more and more. But we have teenagers that don't want to surrender. They're afraid if they surrender, God's going to send them to the backside of some African country somewhere, and they're going to have to live among natives and eat the weird food. And we got teenagers, and we got adults that are saying, "No, Lord, I just would rather kind of stay here." One of my youth pastors, when he was probably in their mid-40s, and he had teenage kids, he surrendered to go to Togo in West Africa. And the biggest opposition they got was from his parents. Grown people that were Christians that were in opposition because they didn't want their grandkids to go to Africa. And I said all that to say that I don't believe God is slacking up in his calling, but I think that we're slacking up in the listening sometimes. So let's look at these people real quick, because I know it's almost time for me to be done. And I know how you are in food. I know the first bus ministry. I figured out how they did the first bus ministry. They got a Baptist preacher to hold on to the yoke on the chariot, and they dangled a piece of fried chicken right in front of his face. Okay. All right. We got Abel. Abel in verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. We find Abel in Genesis chapter 4 offering a more excellent sacrifice by faith. And by the way, all religions, every religion in the world, can be traced back to Genesis chapter 4. We have Cain and we have Abel. One offered a sacrifice by faith. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Every religion except for Christianity does not operate on faith alone. It operates on the premise that you have to do something in order to earn your salvation. And Christianity is not do, 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 but it is done. Christ has done the work for us. All we have to do is to believe and put our faith. We could look at Enoch. Enoch, by faith, was translated. In other words, he was carried across that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And for lack of time, I'm going to do what the author of Hebrews did. And I'm going to say time would fail me to mention all these others. So I will skip to the end. And the end happens to be the next verse, which is verse 6. The end of my outline, not the end of the chapter. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Isaiah 55 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. We could go back to chapter 10 in verse 38. We could read, now the just shall live by faith. And then we can look right across the page and say, but without faith it is impossible to please him. You want to please God? You cannot do it apart from faith. To the lost person, you cannot please God with your works. You cannot please God with your promises to be saved later on. You cannot please God unless you have faith. I mentioned we all have faith. That's not the kind of faith that saves a sinner from hell. It's the kind of faith that's mentioned in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, where the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. No amount of works that you can do, no promises that you can give to God, no prayers that you can pray apart from the prayer of faith will ever save a soul from hell. Chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. Enoch pleased God. That's mentioned at the end of verse 5. He pleased God. Could you and I have that testimony where this book were to be written based on the members of Bible Baptist Church? What would be beside our name? Would it be able to say that we offered a more excellent sacrifice? Would it say that we pleased God? Would it say, as it said with Noah, that we walked with God? Would it say, as it said with Abraham, Moses, and Noah, that we obeyed God? Would it say, as it did with Sarah, that she believed that God would give her a child. Would it say, as it said in Isaac, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come? Would it say that by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons? By faith Joseph, when he died, he said, look, my bones are not going to be buried in Egypt. I want to be buried in Israel. He had concerns. We have concerns. What would it say beside our name? What would be mentioned in this hall of faith? Or would it be kind of just passed over, glimpsed over, not even mentioned? You and I have a mission. Excuse me. We're to do the will of God. We're to do the work of God. We're to do the word of God. But you and I cannot hope to please God, even as a Christian, without faith. And that includes also, by faith, doing what's right. Because it's the right thing to do, because God commanded it in His Word. But before you and I can ever hope to live by faith, we first have to be saved by faith in Christ Jesus. May we pray. Lord, I pray that as Your Word went forth, that Your people would are encouraged, that those that may be lost were convicted. And Lord, we pray during this invitation time that You would have blessed the preaching of Your Word. We pray that it will accomplish that which You have planned for it to. And Lord, if there's anybody that needs to respond during this invitation time, that they would step forward and receive help from the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.